Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I am and a man is who I am. I am an...
That's too high, darling. I did say that.
Hello, my darlings. Hello again. Hello, you lovely little biscuits, all of you. You lovely little biscuits. I always feel when I start recording one of these podcasts, I'm opening a sort of biscuit box, and the biscuit box is full of, well, biscuits, but the biscuits are people. And I love you, all of you. I love the rich variety of life and the rich variety of a good biscuit box. And I think the two are very similar. I really do. So hello to you all, to the creamy teas, is that what they're called? The cream teas, the expensive men and women and other in your posh houses with your big fireplace and all your cosy money, and to the lovely Bourbons just sort of all comfortable in your slippers with your pipe and relaxing again by the fire, but it's a bit of a smaller fire. It's not the wonderful open flames of the cream tea or the aga by which they hang about when they're drinking I'm back. But anyway, the Bourbons in your slippers and, of course, the dull old digestives, bless you, sat there feeling ever so plain and sad, aren't you, bless you? But I like you because you're hearty, you're reliable, which a lot of people aren't in this world, and I know you're just dreaming of some cheeky cup of coffee to come along and dip you till you melt. And, of course, the pink wafers, who will be what they will be no matter what. The bravest of all the biscuits. There's a lot of prejudice out there, and the pink wafers, you keep on doing what you're doing, darlings, because I love you all. I really do. But all of you, all the rich variety of life. I could sit here all day and compare people to biscuits, but I won't. I won't because, well, I want to watch some telly in a minute, I won't lie. But anyway, hello and welcome to Talking to Actors with me, Anna Mann, actress, singer, biscuit obsessive, many people say. I think they're going a bit far, but there you go. On this show, we talk to some of my dear friends, possibly people I've never met before, but I haven't done those yet. But at some point, I'm sure I will. So far, it's basically just been going through the old phone book, trying to find who's still alive, really. And I chat to those people, the actors and actresses, about their lives, their upbringings, their process, and, of course, their careers, or lack of careers, you know, because so many of us aren't working at any point. I think it's 99% of actors aren't working 100% of the time. And sometimes when you look at those figures, you can get a little blue and you can start to feel a bit like, what the fuck am I doing? Am I insane? But you know, that's not why we do it. We do it, why, darlings? Shout out. We do it because we love it. Let's try that again. Why do we do it? That's right, we do it because we love it. I don't care if you're in a supermarket, on a bus, riding a camel, fighting a man, or observing some bears at the zoo. I want you to shout out, why do we do it? We do it because we love it. That's right. God bless you, darlings. And I've heard from a few cheeky chappies online, big fans of the show, or they might be quite small, I don't know, but they have said that they love the show, which is great. You know, I feel like I'm just bragging now, but quite a lot of them say they tend to listen to it when they're going about the supermarket or in the park or wherever. I think a young man said he was in the park and he scared away some old people because he started laughing manically, which I think is a compliment and a success. Now, before we jump into this episode, last week we chatted, when I say we, I mean me, we chatted to the wonderful Margaret Caban Smith, not only a bloody brilliant actress, but also one of my very best friends. And we chatted about this and that. And I'll be honest, darlings, we didn't get to the interview because we're silly old hams, both of us, and we ended up chatting about anything and everything. I chatted quite a lot about an email I received from, turned out to be a lovely man, who was asking me to do a gig for, you know, quite a reasonable amount of money. And I read the email out because I found it sort of funny, I won't lie. And, well, I did the gig and he was the loveliest man ever. He really was. And it was the loveliest gig ever. And it really was wonderful. And, you know, Christmas is going to be all right for once. I'm going to be able to get some, well, some wrapping paper finally. I mean, I won't put anything in it, but, you know, I the paper's the thing for me. When I give a present, I go, here's some paper, you know, and if they don't like it, fuck it. Then what mind don't matter, then what matter don't mind, etc., etc. Anyway, the point is the gig was marvellous, and I won't lie, I spent the entire time, slight terror, that he had listened to the podcast. I don't think he had. His main advice was less is more, you may remember, for life and for gigs, which I was very, very rude about, really, in the last podcast. But all for fun. Please don't take it seriously. And as I said, I do tend to go over a bit. So I think, in actual fact, it was a sort of quite wise warning. And you may remember he wanted me to do 8.5 to 10.5 minutes, which was very specific and I found very funny. And I sort of went, all right, I will, I'm a professional, blah, blah, blah. And then, I won't lie, darlings, I did almost 17. Fuck. But I'm used to doing 40, if not an hour. And that's when I'm hired to do 6. Anyway, point is, it was great. So I don't take back the previous episode because I did find it very funny. But I do just want you to know that I'm slightly sorry. But only slightly. Anyway, moving on. So we chat to Margaret Capon Smith again this week. Fuck. I just had so much fun and I hope you enjoyed her as well. Please do feel free to bombard her with tweets if you didn't like her, because I think the one thing about Margaret is I really think she needs to really learn. In all seriousness, Margaret is wonderful and doing very well, deservedly so. And I think she's coming back. She's coming back for the next bunch of podcasts. So right now, settle back, grab yourselves a biscuit. Think about what biscuit you might be. Maybe tweet into the show. Maybe send me some thoughts. Try and think, really seriously think about what biscuit you would be and why and what that means for the upcoming election, which we're all terrified about. Anyway, sit back, get ready, here it comes. Talking to Actors with Margaret Capon Smith.
Talking to actors, trying to understand their process. We're talking to actors, actors, yeah, they rule the world.
It's time for Talking to Actors. Here we are with Margaret Caborn Smith. Hello, my darling. How are you since a few seconds ago?
Oh, I'm very well. I'm now in interview mode, so...
Great. So, Margaret, we'll talk about your life, the Margaret Caborn Smith...
Story,
if you will. Yes. Are you going to finish every sentence I do?
Yes. No, I won't.
It's fine. Okay. It's fine, Margaret. I really did get you in because I thought you'd increase the boundaries.
So sorry.
The Margaret Caborn Smith story. So, born, presumably... Do you want to talk a bit
about
that?
Am I allowed to answer that?
Yes, you can now talk. You can do whatever you want now.
I was born in a place called St. Margaret's.
And do you remember any of that, or was it all...
I mean, as all good actors do.
Do you ever use it?
Yes, of course. I use it in everything.
When did you first realise you could go back to the womb?
Well, sort of almost immediately afterwards.
Really?
That was when it was most fresh.
You were trying to get back.
Yeah.
Fuck. In some ways, do you think that's what acting is?
Oh, trying to get
trying
back.
To
yes.
get back in the womb.
Yes, and trying to
is that all a play
oneself.
Is? Is that why we?
It's just a bunch of people on stage
trying to get into a womb,
into the womb of the audience, maybe.
Or the audience trying to get into our wombs.
Yes, we're all trying to get into each other's.
We're all trying
wombs,
to get into each other's wombs
we?
In a way. Yeah. I think I don't know. I think that's actually quite a good definition of acting.
Mm.
And I think if I ran a drama school, I'd start with that.
Do you not?
Well, I don't run a drama school. No, no. I'd like to.
You know,
I
think Pauline does.
Pauline Quirk. Mm. Fuck, I do. Yeah. She's everywhere.
Yeah.
I see
she's
her face plastered. It's
lorries,
all over Brighton.
And, yes.
She's on the back of lorries.
You could be
she's
there.
Dangling off helicopters. She's everywhere.
Yes, it's not
she's
a good
everywhere.
Advertising.
It's dangerous. She's going to pull a muscle. She's a wonderful actress. Mm.
But
as
her
far
ankles
as I'm
are
aware,
not strong enough to...
Fuck no, not to be dangled like that.
No.
And wear some pants if you're going to do that. Or trousers, at least. Yes.
Trousers make sense if you're being
jeez,
from
but
a
of course it's eye-catching. It gets, it, and then you see it and you go, right, okay, I've seen that. I can't unsee it.
Yeah.
Might as well
school
join her drama school. School of acting. There we go. It works.
Yeah.
So you were born. Then what point, childhood, was it all right?
Do you know, it was, yeah, I know. It was, no, it was great, but I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not enough books in the house? Was it that sort of thing?
Too many.
Too many books.
Too many books.
Okay, so would you... I think generally people are not given enough stimuli or are overstimulated.
Yes.
Were you
overstimulated?
Right.
Yes.
Was there a pressure?
Pressure to use those books.
To be clever, I guess I'm saying. Was there any pressure?
No, I was very much left to my own devices.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very lonely.
Were you an only child?
No, I was the middle child of two much more popular people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And is that just a thing you've imagined, you think? I mean, I take it you've probably thought over this.
I don't think I did imagine
point.
It.
You really think that's true? You're holding your guns to that. And have you ever spoken to the family about this?
Yes, oh, they know. They're very rude about it.
And do they just agree?
Yes,
right,
yes,
okay.
Yes. And oh, no, listen, in case my sisters do actually listen to this, my sisters are amazing.
Yes.
They're absolutely brilliant, but that's the problem.
Well, I don't think...
it's
well,
not living up.
So
you know,
are they in
how
the,
was I supposed to live up
are
to
Are they
that?
Actresses as well?
No, they've got no need to be because they were literally...
Because they're content.
Yes.
They don't need to get back in any world.
They don't need the attention. They're fine for it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Do they work in the real world? They're real people.
They're real people.
Ugh.
Civilians.
God. Oh,
yeah,
how
can you
weird.
Imagine?
How weird. Mum and Dad didn't do any acting or anything?
No.
You're the first, the first of the chosen
of
ones.
My aunt was a dancer.
Really?
Yeah.
What professional?
Yeah, Royal Ballet.
Oh, wonderful. Mm. And did that factor into your doing what you do, which is, as we, you know, let's be honest, mainly podcasts.
Yes, and there aren't enough dancing podcasts.
No, there's not.
There's not enough dancing
Well, I don't
on
know,
podcasts.
There might be. There's so many podcasts and such
you're,
a small bunch.
Such
we're all trying to get.
Yes, so yes, because there's only a certain number.
So do you think that did that?
No.
No.
No,
had
no, it did,
she was not. She's not a heroine, an inspiration. It's just a coincidence. So we'll leave her there.
Let's say that, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And did she end her days happy?
she's still alive, actually.
And is she
yes.
happy?
Yes, I think she is.
Okay,
but
so,
again,
so you think keep doing it. Not as needy,
not
so
as
sort
needy.
Of happy with her lot.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
dancers
yeah,
are quite like that, though, aren't they? And I think what it is...
Well, they wear out in a way that actors
They wear,
don't.
And also there's, I suppose, like with footballers and so on, there's a point where it's like, no, let's leave this now. This is, you know, and we've
yes,
done
I've
out...
Yes, I've had a brain injury. Let's just call it a day.
I mean, I wasn't going to go there, but you did, which is fine. But, you know, you can't dance. I mean, you can, if you're like Merce Cunningham, shall we say. This is the second time you've popped up in this podcast on toast. But there's an end point, probably, whereas acting, you just keep fucking doing it, don't you?
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
it's kind
no
of,
one
oh,
ever
this
tells
was a wonderful thing
retire.
I did. I loved it.
Yes.
It was great.
Yes.
Now I'm happy to not do it anymore. And also, I guess as a dancer, you're sort of one of many on the stage dancing around, even if you're... I'm sort of belittling
you really
a
are.
Wonderful
in a
profession.
Way that, in a way that actors also are just on a stage bobbing
acting around. Yes,
acting
but you're,
around.
But we're all trying to beat each other, right?
Oh, sure. It's just one-upmanship.
I
mean,
what
I
I'm trying to say is it's harder to pinpoint, like we talked about Joaquin Phoenix, you know, and we sort of, some people think he's the bee's knees, some people think he just sort of does crying faces a lot. I'm not saying which side of that argument I'm on,
isn't
by the
it
way.
Just that he's had a crying face drawn on, to be fair to him?
You know, he's a happy face drawn on, actually the complete opposite, darling.
Well,
but,
I grimace when I cry, and it is like a creepy smile.
I do, it's awful, isn't it? It's awful. And it's awful for acting. It's so
yes.
awful for acting, people don't believe you're crying.
No, exactly. It's inaccurate, if anything.
It is. Right. So much is coming out now. I want to ask one quick thing about acting while we're talking about. Something I've come to realise in my many, many years is there's acting, isn't there? There's this real acting that people do. But there's the sort of real acting that isn't real acting because it's actually doing weird faces that somehow a viewer equates with real acting.
Yes.
I'm talking about TV now.
Yeah.
To be honest, because on stage, no one can see your face. That's the beauty of it. You're completely covered.
Oh, it's all
head to toe.
Just, yeah,
I will only be on stage completely covered head to toe.
And you're just making shapes on stage.
So I'll give you an example, but you probably, because I don't think it's really your sort of thing, but Anna, as you know, I love my sci-fi. But Walking Dead, you know, Andrew Lincoln in that.
I do know Andrew Lincoln.
Who's great. Yes, and there's another chap who's, I can't remember his name, but he's a big chap now. He's doing very well.
Andre the Giant?
American. No, he's gone, bless him.
Oh,
he's long
I'm
gone.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I mean, you know, I never knew him, but it is upsetting for you to...
Yeah.
I just think you...
So, anyway.
No, I'm not going to go on about it if you're not. But they do this acting where they sort of keep looking out the window and sort of scratching and do you know what I mean? Mm. And doing things that actually in real life no one ever does. Mm. But somehow that is, and I'm doing inverted commas here, real acting.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
And do you have anything to say about it?
I do. And I honestly think that there are fashions in acting.
Right.
And I think it's wrong to say that people don't do that. Mm. But you're right, it's not. It's only a small facet of what people... I mean, I'm speaking quite honestly here now, but I think that in my real life, I react in quite a big way.
Yes. Not,
you know, and I sometimes think, oh, what I'm doing isn't very realistic.
Yes.
Like, for example, I used to genuinely do a big facial reaction to whatever the headline was on the Evening Standard as I walked past it in the evening. And I would think, why am I doing that? You know, I don't have a camera on me.
I'm the same.
Nobody cares.
I bob along through life doing these big things. But then when you see it on camera, it doesn't look
read
real.
Necessarily. Exactly.
But then, so I'm not talking about...
But some people really don't do that.
Like big Edinburgh-y acting, like what we do.
Sure.
And I'm not talking about... I'm not talking about completely, you know, Mike Lee sort of...
Yeah,
although Mike Lee isn't really, is it? It's actually quite...
Mike
a lot
Lee,
of it's very
not
clowny
tics
stuff.
And, yes.
But all right,
talk,
I'm not
talk
talking
like
about...
This. Talk like this. I talk like this, you know.
Yes, it's a sort of cartoon of a working class person a lot of the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's all right to say that, isn't it? He's never going to cast me. Let's be honest.
He's not going to listen to this.
He's not going to listen to this. And he's not going to cast me.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Anna.
No, it's official. It did come up the other day on my... Yes.
Oh,
have you had that from Spotlight?
What, the message that you're not going to be
yes,
in
Yes, after a while, he just... You get a sort of... It's like a letter from the Queen when you turn 100. But it's like a sort of, you hit a certain age
I'm
and you just get a message that just
you.
Says, you will never be cast by Mike Lee.
But on a nice telegram or...
And you're not going to Hollywood ever. They're the two that you get. You reach a certain age and you just, it's actually weirdly...
It's freeing.
You're afraid of it. It's like getting your TB jab. You're terrified of it for years. But when it comes, you go,
that was all right.
Yeah, and I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
You know? I'm afraid what you're doing, this is about it. That's the letter you get.
This is about it. It's from Mike Lee.
Oh, God, he'd never do that. But he has someone do it for him, you know. It's like an official thing. It's just so he stops getting any more post. He just wants to sit in the corner and grumble about Marvel.
Oh, dear.
But,
Oh, well, I'd be... No,
where,
I mean, now
where,
that I
how
know
did we
that,
get to this point? That's what I want to know.
We were talking about big acting.
Big acting, little acting. So I'm not talking about big acting. I'm not talking about little acting. I'm talking about this weird thing in between. I think you're right.
It's
certain things become a fashionable pose, a sort of face or a certain thing, like the sort of thing in Friends I always found funny when they kiss. And then they sort of... The girls, I think it's mainly the girls, probably the boys do it too, where they... Or the men or the women, if you wish, where they kiss someone for the first time. And it's someone they're attracted to, and they sort of back off and sort of go, whoa, and kind of...
rather than the constant forward trajectory.
I don't know what you do, really, after you've kissed someone. So what I'm saying is, I guess there... I don't know what I'm saying, and all this... What am I saying?
I think what you're saying is you need more TV work.
I need more work.
Please.
For God's sake. I'm now starting to think I should have gone to that all-day tech.
Well, there's still time,
there's still time.
Anna.
I'll email her now.
Time.
I'm pretending I'm emailing. I'm just hitting spacebar.
Ask the nincompoops. It's the show where kids ask us the questions they want answered.
And we answer the questions that the kids ask.
Did bacon or pigs come first?
Bacon.
Bacon, are you not listening?
It couldn't be simpler.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Your pants on fire, did you know that?
Oh, hold on, my pants are on fire. Sorry, that's just pure coincidence. You haven't learned a thing.
Ask the nincompoops.
Great Big Owl.
Right, so Margaret Caban Smith's story. We're going to have to do a part two, if not a part six. Fuck's sake, darling.
I'm happy with that.
Where does it end? No, we don't want to know that. What we want to know is, so the aunt did nothing for your career, but what point did you go, acting? That's what Margaret Cable and Smith should do. That's how I suddenly get a bit of attention from the folks.
Yes, yes. Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, age 11.
Age 11, you were cast 10, yeah. as Dorothy Gale.
Dorothy Gale.
Did you know that's her second
name?
No,
I didn't. That's funny.
In The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Alongside...
Lucy Murphy as Auntie M. Caroline Mabey as the Scarecrow.
Caroline
yeah,
Mabey,
genuinely,
right.
was my Scarecrow.
Your
get
lie,
her on.
Your
get her on.
Do you remember who
She'll
your lion was?
It. Stuart Neem.
And the Tin Man.
Marissa Mori.
Who carried on the career? One, at least. Or two,
yes,
actually. Sorry,
Caroline
you as well.
Caroline Mabey and me.
And Margaret Caban-Smith.
Yes.
The others, did
who,
they realise it was all a very silly thing to do?
Really silly, and I should have realised it quicker. Yes. Do you know, genuinely, I was at a casting the other day, and there was a load of children around me, and I thought, I do the same job as children, and they're up for bigger parts than
yes,
me.
That's
this is embarrassing.
Awful.
It's awful.
That's the worst possible
it's
thing.
Sort of, it was a shocking realisation.
You've done quite a bit of children's...
I've
TV,
done a bit, of, yeah, I did a Disney show.
Yes, yes, and
series of,
The Children with the Stars.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that feel? I think we're talking about the same thing. Yeah, so anyway, Dorothy Gale got you in it, got you into the acting yeah. game. You loved it?
I loved it.
And what?
Loved
and
it.
And
Too
then,
much.
Where did we go after that?
Secondary school.
Secondary school. And were you still acting? Then, still doing have you started youth theatre at this point?
No, I did youth theatre age 13. Kate Beckinsale was at my youth theatre.
Kate Beckinsale was at your youth theatre,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
With Caroline
Mabey.
Did you
work with her?
Yes. We did a play about the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Oh, God.
Yes.
It's about time. Who did you play?
Well, to be fair, it was more relevant.
Then, yes. Who did you play? Hasselhoff?
I played Hasselhoff, yes.
Were you
oh,
being,
no, I had a tiny
Were you
tiny
being
role,
a tiny role, yeah. a brick? So the wall came down, then what happens?
I had a voiceover with Christopher Timothy, aged 11.
Lovely.
Because the girl I sat next to at secondary school...
Yes.
...who talked like that.
Yes.
But her mum ran a children's agency, and this mother, they needed somebody... with a voice a bit more like mine.
Right.
And she said, well, I sit next to a girl who's like an encyclopedia, I believe her voice. So I did an advert for an encyclopedia, I really did.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Have you always had a voice that's quite sort of poshish then?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you where did you grow up?
East Sheen.
East Sheen?
Yeah, near Richmond, so quite posh.
Okay,
but,
all right.
You know, state school, so
right.
it's in and out.
All right, I think we're getting you're painting a very clear picture here. So then, okay, the bit of voiceover, Dorothy Gale, the brick. And then when does it start to become a career?
Oh, God, not till ages later. I went to university.
University.
And I was very intimidated, but I did a couple of plays, but they were very...
So you weren't doing an acting
course. I wasn't doing drama.
Right.
And they very much looked down on people who weren't doing drama.
Oh, God. But they let you in.
They let me in. I was allowed to audition.
What university was it?
UEA.
No. No.
University of East Anglia.
Oh, right.
So I went to Drama Studio London, or as my DSL.
So you knew you wanted to do it despite these bullies, let's be honest.
I did know I wanted to do it, but also, actually, I wanted to do comedy even more.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because you always loved comedy, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. You know, my dad used to read Hancock's half-hour Goon Show scripts to
and
us.
Back then, of course, there were so few women comedians.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
did you feel
so
like...
So I did want to be a male comedian. That
yes.
That was my dream.
But did you feel it was possible, or...?
Not really, no,
I mean, you had French and Saunders and so on.
Yes, French and Saunders had Victoria Words.
But it didn't feel like... Nowadays, it feels much more open, doesn't it?
And sometimes you get two women on a stand-up bill, which is just insane.
Sometimes you have a whole audience of women. It's wonderful. It really is. But, I mean, was there any sense of, no, that's not for me, I have to be a nurse or whatever?
No, but my parents, even though they had nothing to do with show business, were always very supportive.
Good.
But they just didn't have a clue, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't know where to start, really. You know.
Lovely.
I always
it's
get annoyed.
Because
with...
you have sort of fulfilled your dreams in a way, then, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have,
the
in
dreams
a very
of the child.
Tiny, tiny way.
I thought that the other day about myself.
Yes, but that's brilliant, isn't
we
it?
We have to do that,
we
yes.
We have to.
Yes.
I've never
not
been
as
on
much
the...
as we hoped.
No,
but
no cover of Radio Times.
But actually, no, that's
no
a terrible
Island
thing
Dits.
To say because it's not like that.
No, it's lots
really
of little
not.
Dreams.
Yes.
And, there's been so many little dreams that I've been lucky in. I'm not being genuine.
Yeah,
not
be genuine,
now.
For God's
I,
sake, for once in your
I'm
life.
So, yeah, so.
A million
lucky.
Dreams are keeping me awake, and they're all very little, I'm afraid.
Well, a million
dreams. Lying
big
in bed
dreams.
With a million very small dreams.
Tiny, tiny dreams but about working with Jeffrey Palmer. Wonderful. Things like
oh,
that.
Oh, fuck. Have you done Palmer?
I played his girlfriend, yeah.
Wow.
I met Galton and Simpson.
I should have started off talking about what you've done, and I haven't done that.
No.
But we're sort of doing that now.
It's fine.
Okay, so you left drama school. No. You
went to drama school. I went to drama school.
It was like for a year in London?
Yes, and I tried to meet, in order to meet people to do comedy with.
Oh, okay, so not in order to learn how to act.
Well, no, but weirdly, but when I was there, obviously I did really get into learning how to act and I did love it.
You know,
and then
funny.
Right at the end I thought, oh, no, but I do still want to do comedy. And so I started doing comedy with Zoe Gardner.
It's funny because I've always thought of you as, like a lot of us, myself partly included, but my mind's changed on this many times, as sort of coming into comedy because... Really, I want to do Shakespeare
acting,
and so on.
But for me, no, not really.
But I always thought you
back
were very... Because you all seem very serious about the acting, you know?
You're right.
But actually, you wanted the comedy, was your thing.
I wanted the comedy, yeah. I've never had any... I mean, I'd like to do drama because I'd like to do, you know, have a go at everything. But really, comedy is what I love. Taking something and making it funny is my absolute favourite thing
and
to
what
do.
And what is it you get out of
sometimes even with bad material.
What is it you're...
Love.
I mean, we could be entirely serious. It is love. Is it love?
Well, do you know, and to be fair, as being a comedy fan growing up, it was the thing that made me happiest.
Yeah.
Was laughing at comedy.
But it felt very different.
So being able
didn't
to
it?
Do it. Yeah. But being able to do it for people.
It felt much more family, do you think?
Mm.
It felt much more like a more wholesome, maybe.
Well, it's just
I
more
don't mean as in it
now.
Was. I don't mean as in it was sort of less rude, because I think in some ways it was more rude and naughtier, wasn't it? But
yeah.
I guess just everything's fractured, isn't it?
Yes.
All society's fallen into these horrible groups and
my whole theory,
divides.
Exactly. My whole theory is there won't be household names quite soon.
No.
There just won't be. Because
in some ways,
just...
that's fine.
Yeah, we'll get used to it, certainly. Yes. We'll always have
a million
reality
tiny dreams.
Shows.
That's
a million
what we'll call
tiny
this episode.
Dreams.
A million tiny dreams.
Love it.
Right, well, let's just jump forward as quick as we can,
yeah.
And then we'll come back for a deeper session.
Yes,
in
yes.
About 5 years.
The psychiatrist,
years.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
About 5 years, I think. Because I've got
when
a
I've
lot
got
of...
When I've got over all of this.
Yes. You're going to need a lot of therapy after this. I've basically done the role of an unqualified therapist. I've opened your head, pulled some stuff out to millions of people who are going to listen to this, including Mike Lee.
Of, yes. Oh, sorry, Mike.
You haven't had the...
I haven't had that letter, no. So
actually, you should probably check your emails after this.
All right. I'm a bit younger than you, Anna. But
yes. Well, I know, but some people get it straight away. Some people get it as soon as they leave drama school.
Graduate.
What he does is he has these various people go into drama schools and just check who he's never going to employ. Not looking for people who will employ, just ones he definitely never will. And then he gets them to send them all a letter just saying, just to let you know, Mike Lee will never, ever put you in anything, you know.
Stop
which
that
actually
dream.
Means don't act. Where were we?
You
so,
were summing
yes.
up.
Is that where you met Zoe?
Yes, that's where I met
Zoe Gardner.
My lovely friend.
And then
friend,
you did,
Zoe.
So you did find a lovely friend.
We did, yes.
Who's very funny.
We did, and a few other people
times.
As well. We did a
and
sketch
together.
Group first.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, with Cicely
in Edinburgh,
Giddings.
At the Edinburgh Festival.
Abigail Burdess was
oh,
the
lovely.
Director. Yeah,
right.
My friends Morag Cross and Tim Heim, who've gone on to do more proper things. But then Zoe and I became a double act.
Within that, Congress of Oddities.
Yes, our
wonderful.
Victorian double act.
And that's where we met.
Yes.
Through doing Edinburgh.
Through the sketch circuit.
And then after that, it really is. What is it about it? I think it's because partly you're lumped in with a load of posh, privileged gits. Let's not beat around the bush. Mm-hmm. Some of whom are our very best friends. But it's partly that stuff that you really feel sick thinking about. And then at the same time, you're sort of... Your imposter syndrome is ramped up because you feel the real comedy people, i.e. the sort of grumpy stand-up
yes,
men,
yes,
despise you.
Oh, despise.
You know.
Despise.
And then actors...
The frivolity of what we're doing.
Don't
dressing
think you
up
exist.
Oh, they've got no idea. No idea. No, you're right. We're straddling those worlds. We're
and
not
we
as cool
as the
stand-ups.
And we don't even want to be in that world. We're
and
trying
we're not
to tell
as
you...
earnest as the actors.
I mean, I say to people I do stand-up now, but it's a sort of a different kind of stand-up, you know.
Yes.
So anyway, you did that and you did Edinburgh together. You had lots of fun. And then the last many years, you've been solidly working. Radio. Was that a big thing for you? That was...
I mean, you're
on radio all the time.
Yeah, and
radio
I really love it. And I do a lot less. I do a lot less than I did. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, but just
what did you do?
No.
I'm worried about what letter I'm guessing. I think it just
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those things, and there's less of it being made actually.
Yes.
But I really, really love radio.
Yes, and you're so good at it.
Bless you for that, my darling.
Yes. Yeah, and what do you love about doing radio?
Well, I suppose because you only have one facet of you that you're allowed to do, like those narrow parameters, you know, so you're not thinking, oh, what do I do with my face and my body?
Right, okay, yeah.
You're just literally thinking, what can I do with my voice?
Yeah, and do you practice voice stuff? Because I do nothing.
I don't mean voice.
Yes, you do, I suppose. You're doing so much all the time. You don't need to really, do you? And then television wires.
Yes, I've done lots of little tiny bits of television.
Yes. Do you want to talk about any of that?
A million dreams. A million tiny parts.
Lovely. So.
That's right.
No.
Oh, I tell you what was exciting, though. Yes. It was Evermore, which was the Disney show that I did.
Oh, yes.
That's the first time I've ever had my name in the opening credits of something. Oh, and that felt like a thing.
That's very exciting.
Spelt right and everything.
Where are we now? What are we up to at the minute?
I'm just about to do the London homecoming gig for John Finnemore's flying visit.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which has been brilliant.
Wow, but hard going.
Really hard going.
Touring,
for
yes.
an old lady.
Yes. So, and that's come from the radio show as
yes, it
become
has come
a live
from.
Show.
Yes, so we did have to learn what to do with our faces and bodies.
And it's really, yes, you did. And what was that like then?
Yeah, that was...
Were you acting out? Because a lot
yeah,
of radio
acting
sketches...
Yeah, sketches that we hadn't acted, you know, we hadn't even learnt, obviously. Mm. Like
a lot of radio stuff kind of uses sounds and,
yes,
and it's about, there's a comedy in that.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you're actually just doing it on stage.
Yeah. But John's very, very aware of that and very good at putting
in... Yeah, he's very clever, isn't he?
He's very clever.
Did he direct it?
He didn't, no. David Tyler from Positive.
Right, yes, I know him. Yeah.
Yes, he directed. And so, you know, there was a lot of making sure that we weren't just... reading out loud.
Yes.
Because that would be disappointing for a theatre.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a spoiler for the show, actually, but I do a cartwheel into the splits every night.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, which is quite full on.
Great.
And as well, my friend said, but you're in your 40s now. And I said, yes, but that's why it's funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I was 18 and doing a cartwheel
it
split,
would just
people
be
arrogant.
Like,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well done, you.
Yeah. But this is sort of ridiculous.
Lovely. So, a lovely tour. Well, Margaret, tour. I look forward to speaking to you again. And
oh, and
Miranda,
such fun 10 years celebration.
I'm
not sure when it's going to be on, but it'll be on
Miranda,
TV.
Of course, because
we're
Miranda
Christmas.
Hart's show, aren't
yes.
you? Lovely. Yeah, and are you thinking of doing any more of your own
yeah,
bits and
do you
bobs?
Know what?
Because I always think you're
I'd real. Like to. I know, I'd really like to. And I'm going to tell myself off about that more.
Okay. Well, everyone look for Margaret Cable Smith. She's not only one of the finest actors of her generation.
Yeah.
I mean that. She's a wonderful actor. She's also one of my best friends.
Talking to the real people. Talking to the real peeps. Talking to the real people. What are those people eats?
We're back again with Talking to the Real People. As you may know, this is my chance to learn a bit about what real people, as in non-actors or creators or artists or dancers or so on, what they're like and what they do and how they survive. This is also for all the actors listening, of course, who must be constantly wondering, you know, what's it like to be a real person? Because in a way, we need to know.
Definitely.
In order to play a real person.
And connect with the general audience.
Exactly. You know, and also they do bring in a lot of money. They don't have a lot of money, but if you get enough of them, that's a lot of money.
Oh, they like to be entertained. They like escapism.
Right now, there's a general election.
There is, you're quite
going
right.
on. We're recording this a little bit in advance. I mean, this will go out before the election, hopefully,
okay.
but we don't know what the lay of the land is. So what real people have you been talking to recently about this subject, general election?
I would say the last person I spoke to was my father.
Right.
And he said that we should give Boris a chance.
Oh, God.
And
has he always been a
sort of right-wing type
yes.
of person. Do you know? And I think the older he's got, he's evolved into a Tory. So he's
really?
Quite left-wing.
Oh, was he?
But as the years have gone on, more cynical,
oh,
more
sad.
Traditional values.
How,
and it's like a disease. It's taken over him.
Does that happen to a lot of real people, that they go that way?
Well, I visit him in... he doesn't live in an actual old people's home, but it's a block of flats where old people live.
Right.
And they're all Tories, and they're all pro-Boris.
What is it they like about Boris?
I think it's an element whereby a lot of them like his background, his family, Oxford, Cambridge.
But I thought that would put the real people off.
Well, I think...
That's what some people hope, but clearly not the case.
Clearly not the case. I think the older you become, the more the Tory almost explodes within you, like an egg that opens up at the age of 70 and it crawls out.
Ugh, how ugly.
Like something out of the Alien trilogy.
Do you think we sort of want to be ruled, ultimately?
I think so.
Well, we want to be the peasants.
Freedom.
Yes. I'm just going to get a little drink while we're
By all means, please, Anna. I think freedom is a case of it can be a rope that is so long you can hang yourself. Because freedom has a responsibility.
And they want to bring that back, hanging.
But apparently so.
They
apparently it's on the top of the list.
They bloody love it.
Well, it's something else to televise,
so
isn't
do you
that?
Think he'll win? What's your take on it from what you've been out and about? Have you met anyone who's the other way?
Oh, very much so. I find janitors, to be specific, are very left-wing.
Really?
And also, people I know who live in Brighton are very Corbyn.
Do you talk to a lot of janitors?
Well,
they seem to come up quite a lot.
I do fall behind with my emails.
One of them stitched you. Oh, the electronic letters.
Yeah, the electronic letters. And they all gather up, and you're supposed to answer them all.
So do the janitors clean up the electronic letters?
No, but they clean up crumbs that people have left from sandwiches.
Crumbs of electric?
No, not crumbs of electric, crumbs of food.
Oh, right.
You know, when they've had their lunch and things like that.
So why does that come into when you're cleaning up your emails?
So I'm cleaning up my emails, and then they're cleaning up the floor. So I'm electronically cleaning up my computer.
So do you sort of say something like, you're cleaning up? You know, you'll say something like, evening, Reg. Whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about banter with real people. You've got to be good at banter.
Right, so a common bit of banter. I'm the janitor. What's his name? Reg?
I never actually get to know their Christian names. They tell me, but I forget them quite quickly.
Well, you forget people the second they walk out the room. We've established that.
Yeah, I do, unfortunately. So, yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, still here, are you? That's me, I'm being Reg. Still here, are you?
Unfortunately, Reg, not that I want to be, but I've got some emails to answer. You know what it's like? It's like an electronic leash, these computers these days.
Would you say that? I don't think you'd say that, would you?
No, I think it would be... I might just tut and look at the ceiling, yeah.
So, right, okay, great. And then he says, bloody election coming up then.
There's always an element of, oh, here we go.
No, really? So you don't want to talk about it?
No, not really. I've had a day of it. I've got these emails. But I'll be polite and I'll say, yes, it is coming, isn't it? It's quite a controversial one. It'll be, whoever wins, it'll be very close. You know, I'll just say cliches.
Right.
My
so
voice...
you won't let slip which side your
bread is buttered on. No, you don't do that. You'll get your car kicked out in the car park.
Really?
I very much balance on the fence. I'm very centric. I'm not left, I'm not right. I'll just lay on the fence like Top Cat.
But
you know?
He's happy, this Reg, if that is his name, he's happy to tell you...
Oh, monologues.
Loves Corbyn or loves...
Absolutely loves Corbyn.
Right.
It brings him back to the 70s with Kinnock, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Because he's about 60.
And
quite
who else
old.
Do you meet? So when you're 60, you can still be left-wing, but when you're 70, bang.
It seems that way, but I think Reg is so left-wing that I think maybe he'll go to the extreme, which would be communism, perhaps. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist.
Really? Wow. So there we go. And have you met anyone who's neither here nor there?
No, I think I'm the only one that's impartial. It depends who I'm talking to. Because, you know, as I say, with real people, it's about banter. It's about, you know, keeping the ball rolling. And if they're pro-Boris, I won't... Well, I guess in a way
don't attempt to change their mind.
Well, I haven't got my mind either. Well, I don't know. I don't like Boris because I think he was a clown back in the noughties on Have I Got News For You?
What do you think is going to happen?
I think Boris could take the throne.
Wow.
I think there's a lot of popularity there. He's got a lot of following. He's a well, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, became the senator of LA, didn't he?
Governor of California.
Governor of California, quite right.
I mean, even I knew that. Well, there we go. That's Dave's hot take on the general election.
Thank you.
Let's find out if he was right. I hope not.
Yeah, indeed, I hope not.
Anyway, on with the show. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Well, what a lovely episode that was. Wasn't that lovely? It's given me some faith in humanity to some degree. Dave there talking about the general election, which, when this comes out, we'll only have a day to pull it all back. Oh, God. It's terrifying, but no, come on, hang in there with me, darlings. Hang in there with Anna Mann, sailing that sinking ship. I'm not sailing it. I'm just doing a podcast. It's not the same. But anyway, one thing I would like to say, I'd like to throw my tuppence in and say, for God's sake, darlings, you must vote. You must vote. Because I don't want the world to get any worse, and I'm finding it really quite awful. And Sue, bless her, really, I mean, if they get rid of the NHS, she is fucked. And if Sue's fucked, then I'm fucked. I mean, she's falling to bits, bless her. She can't pay for that. She hasn't got the money. She'll have to mortgage her house, and then whose pantry will I live in? Mahogany's, my daughter's, and she's awful. So come on, think of me when you vote, and just don't vote Tory. And vote Labour, probably, but, you know, just really don't vote for them because they're fucking gross. Anyway, that's the last I'll say on that. And yes, I know all of you have been screaming at your iPhones or laptops or computers or your iWatch. I believe that's such a thing. You've been screaming at it from the beginning. Anna, it's not a cream tea, it's a custard cream. Yes, that is what I meant. I meant custard creams. And yes, I did have to Google search that. And it led me down a very dark path, which I would rather not go into right now, if that's all right. So I'll be back next week, the last one before the Christmas break. Sue Clinch has got me a little panto job in Gravesend. I'll be playing all the parts. There's not a lot of money down there, bless them. But it's going to be very exciting. Now, don't forget, my darlings, just a little plug. Please watch Harry Hill's Club Night, especially my bits. I'm on the first and the last episodes, the Alpha and the Omega, if you will, and the Atari. And it was so much fun, and it's gone down very well, I think. And please, if you can make it go down more well, then, you know, there's a glimmer of hope that I might get to do more somewhere, somehow. And also on Sky, on Now TV, of course, Inside Your Ancestors. I am going to be back next year with a new show, a new live show, which I'll be touring all around the world. Well, selected venues around some of the country. So I will give you lots of information on that. Anyway, thank you, my darlings. I love you. Please listen to Sue Clinch's little message at the end. Good night. Mwah. Get out there and vote.
Listening to Talking to Actors with Anna Mann, starring Colin Holt, edited by Dan Snellgrove, part of the Great Big Owl family. Please subscribe, review and share. You can find Colin on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook and YouTube. And the same goes for Anna Mann. Just look her up, you'll find it. I'm Sue Clinch. Ta-ra.
GreatBigOwl.com. My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.